It's time for the book interview.
Boring books, that's all.
Books? Are you nuts?
No, nothing boring here. Money Life will bring you a book that is out right now. A book that will help you learn more about your finances.
A book that would make Ulysses look like it was written in crayon.
Smart books by smart authors that can help you decide how to best manage your money.
It's not a book! It's a weapon!
It's a weapon against making the kind of mistakes that people make in their financial lives. Money Life brings you the books, the authors, and the information to protect you from these missteps and help to keep your financial future secure.
I read your book. I liked it very, very much.
Don't just take it on faith. Hear the authors talk in depth about their books and give you the facts and figures to back up their information.
It's faith. It's the flower of light in the field of darkness. It's giving me the strength to carry on. You understand?
Is that from your book?
No, it's Johnny Cash, Live at Folsom Prison.
Welcome to the book interview on Money Life. Today we're doing something we don't do very often, which is we're not talking about a book that like, wow, it's out right now. No, this book's been out for a little while, although I hadn't seen it, and it kind of came up because, well, you'll understand, given everything that's going on. The book is Moneyball Medicine, Thriving in the New Data-Driven Healthcare Market. The author is Harry Glorikian, and if you want to learn more, glorikian.com, G-L-O-R-I-K-I-A-N, on Twitter at H-Glorikian. And we're going to talk about the book, but we're also going to talk about what's going to be happening in healthcare as we get through the pandemic. Harry Glorikian, thanks for joining me on Money Life.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Like I said, this book has been out for a while. It did not necessarily anticipate that we would have a pandemic, but the pandemic kind of is speeding up the things that you saw here and you talked about the same way that it's speeding up so much of whether it's work from home or other things that are going on. So for you, is everything coming to a head because we are getting such a good look at where our healthcare system works and doesn't work right now?
Well, the healthcare system has been in a sort of a state of transition since the Reinvestment and Recovery Act and the Affordable Care Act. It's been moving sort of from what people see as fee for service, pay for everything that somebody does, to a system of pay for people to be healthy. And, you know, a lot of that to move to a system where you keep people healthy, you need technology, sensors, monitoring, things like that. So you've seen it's migrating much, much faster in that since those two events happened. The coronavirus has actually just sort of put the accelerator on it, because if you can't see a patient, but you need to see a patient, technology becomes your portal to be able to communicate with somebody. You still need to get data from them. So whether it's their blood pressure cuff or their weight scale or their diabetes meter, you can see how all these technologies now start to report data to the doctor so that the doctor can help manage the patient better.
In terms of how things are going to change, how dependent is everything on this next election? Because obviously we've got two parties that, well, they disagree on how they want to take care of this. I mean, I do know that there are people out there who will tell you they hate Obamacare, but they're fine with the Affordable Care Act. But let's talk about the smart folks who are trying to come up with different ways to look at the same problem. How much does the advancement of medicine in terms of what's next for it and the way we provide healthcare change based on the outcome of the next election, and particularly not necessarily so much the presidential election, but what happens with the Senate and the House to see, you know, if we have one side actually controlling things?
Boy, that's a loaded question. I wish there was a simple way to answer it, you know, red light, green light. Unfortunately, it's more complicated than that. I would tell you that the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare have done a pretty good job through the administrations, by the way, you know, regardless of who's running things at the moment, to moving towards what's called a value-based payment system. In other words, paying for something that works, right? And I always ask people, I'm like, you don't like the Affordable Care Act. Did you read it? Right? And they're like, no, of course not. It's really long. I'm like, well, you know, if you're going to criticize something, read it first and then criticize it. So you're making an informed decision. But one of the tenets of the act is you know, hey, we should be paying for people to be healthy, for things to have a positive outcome, not paying for things like, you know, under the existing system, if something goes wrong, the system still gets paid. Why am I paying for something that went wrong? Right? We have lemon laws when your car doesn't work right and nobody expects you to take a lemon, right? But in healthcare, and what people tell me is, it's really complicated, Harry. You don't fully understand it. I'm like, wait. Geisinger Medical Systems down in Western Pennsylvania has a money-back guarantee on surgeries.
Wow.
It's a big system. So how can one system sort of optimize the outcome of their surgeries, but every other system in the United States somehow has, you know, pretty broad variability depending on where you go? There are these sorts of issues that I think that as you move a system to an outcomes-based payment model, it starts to act much more like a normal business, which is, God, we need to have positive outcomes, and then we can actually get paid and make money. If we have negative outcomes, we're not going to get paid, and we're not going to make money. So we need to sort of step up our game. So it's, I think it's something that everybody out there would like to have, because everybody I know wants to stay healthy, be healthy, and be managed the right way to sort of stay in that situation. And to achieve that, we need to have technology assistance monitoring us. You know, you'd want to know that your heart has a problem before it becomes a problem, sort of like when the light goes on in your car and tells you that there's going to be a problem before there's a problem, so it doesn't cost you an arm and a leg or bankrupt you. And technology and science is really moving very fast right now. I mean, if you look at the coronavirus, you know, just sequencing that virus, when we did the SARS virus, it took us about 4 months to do the sequence for that. The sequencing for coronavirus took about 2 days. And within 7 days after that, they had the first examples of how they might develop a vaccine. Now, that is record time in my mind. And we're talking about, since we've been working on this, that there could be a vaccine by, say, early next year. That's the fastest, you know, bug to drug. That in, if it happens, that'll be a historical event.
Yeah,
never happened before at that speed.
Of course, ironically, everybody feels like it's so slow right now.
Well, yes, because everybody thinks you push a button and it just comes out. It's not the way that our work goes. It's, I mean, especially if you think about it, you're like, all right, well, it works. Okay, well, we need to make, you know, I'm 10 gallons of this, right? Well, okay, but now you have to actually make 10 gallons of it, which takes time. And then you have to know that it's safe enough that you can give it to all these people, right? Because we're not talking about something you're going to give to 5 or 10 or 15 people. You're going to give it to tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of people on a global scale. You don't want it to have a negative effect, right? Because then, you know, the treatment could be worse than the bug.
When you look out and try to forecast how Moneyball medicine plays out, how different do you believe the healthcare system will be within our lifetimes? I mean, I'm a guy who's 58. So how different will the healthcare system be when I'm looking at retirement or when my kids who are in their 20s are looking at having families?
I think you're already starting to see a significant shift. Coronavirus, like I said, I think is going to accelerate that shift where, you know, you're seeing Walmart, they applied to actually become an insurer. So you'll see, you know, a Walmart become an insurer and a healthcare provider through their health centers. CVS and Aetna, you've got an insurer and what now is going to turn into healthcare centers, because the entire system is paying on keeping you healthy or moving in that direction. So you're seeing a big shift there. I talk about things like precision medicine in the book, where God forbid you end up having cancer, that the genetic sequence of the tumor that you have could show you that a particular drug would do a fantastic job of helping you get better and fighting that tumor, right? Instead of it being a guessing game, it's more like, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but like a Google map sort of giving you how you're going to get to your destination. And we're moving in that direction quite quickly. Implementing it, of course, is not easy. There are a lot of things that, doctors are very busy doing their day-to-day, and a lot of this requires some new learnings. But from a financial perspective, and it's been like this for the past, 10 or 15 years, is the whole health segment has been a massive growth area. I mean, if you look at what's happening right now during coronavirus, technologies and different therapeutics are having tremendous growth opportunities, and we're making them faster, and you have less side effects than we ever had before.
Harry, thanks so much for joining me to talk about it. We appreciate the help and the time, and look forward to chatting with you again sometime.
Thank you very much for having me.
That's Harry Glorikian. He is the author of Moneyball Medicine, Thriving in the New Data-Driven Healthcare Market. You can learn more at his website, glorikian.com, and you can follow him on Twitter, at hglorikian. Okay, so this was kind of the life talk. I mean, it was more about healthcare than it was about money. Next, we'll be back to the money right after this message.